Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
Welcome back to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yom Tov Arif, and this show is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. It's designed so you can see it from different paradigm shifts, different perspectives, but coming out with the same conclusion. And let me explain something about the dynamic in the format of the Real Talk for Real People show. You see, you have several elders on this show. Ima Hadora, Sister Hudi, Katria, and myself. And sometimes special elders come on. Not special in a sense, like guests. And the reason why this show is designed the way it is designed, because of the fact it helps to the elders, which are your lead students, along with you, to sharpen each other, plus to sharpen you. That's why we don't utilize titles on this show. I got a warehouse of titles in my backyard, but I don't use titles because it does nothing to enhance you and improve you or to get us on an even playing field so you can give and take. Because if there's big I and little you on an even playing field, there's no give and take. Only you think you have all the sense in the world, so that's why this show is designed the way it is designed. There's no big I or little you, because sometimes egos, because we're human beings, begin to run amok. We don't have egos on this show. We just have elders teaching from their own experiences and so on and so forth. We have Ima Hadora. She's sort of technical. We have Sister Yehudit. She's sort of descriptive and colorful and anecdotal. We have Cartrell. He's one of our technical advisor students also. Yamsuf, he's technical slash motivational, because it puts us all on an even playing field, because iron can sharpen iron like that. That's the only way iron can sharpen iron, if you're on the same even playing field. And it diminishes egos being put into play here. And also, in addition to that, Yom Suf is nothing special. Let to be said. Yom Suf need to be educated along with the fellow students also. But also in play here, Yom Suf is simply a coordinator of the show. That is not a title. That is coordinating the coming on, the going off, the commentary, and so on and so forth, and keeping things smooth and keeping the show and the study show even at play and so on and so forth. But the coordinator is not a title. It's an action that is descriptive of what Yom Suf does, because we want everybody, students, lead students, elders, and fellow students alike, to feel that they're on a common ground, which is the common denominator, which has made this show successful, which will continue to make this show successful, because these elders stand out the way and let the Most High get in the way and let the Most High be the center attention. So that's how the Real Talk for Real People show is designed. The egos don't run amok here. There is no big I, little you here. The only thing is elders that are doing their best to present the Most High from their perspective. And let me repeat again. Ima Hadora, the eldest elder on this show, she's very technical in her approach. Sister Yehudi, she's descriptive, colorful, anecdotal from her perspective. Cartrell, he's a technical advisor too on this show. Yom Suf, it's technical slash motivational. And we all have one common denominator, that the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov is center stage, and he alone is center stage on this show. So that being said, I have a commentary. You know, I like to give commentaries. I've noticed during the Rittenhouse trial, Babyface Nelson, I noted the discrepancies where they told one of our imams, mother of Ahmaud Arbery, we can't have these preachers coming in like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and so on, because you're going to try to influence the folks and whatnot. And you can't. Now, this is what the defense said. But on the other hand, when it comes to Rittenhouse, he could have the president in there if he wanted to. See, if you don't know what universal white race supremacy is, how it works, you'll be totally confused about everything. Neely Fuller Jr. said that, and I have to concur with him. He's a wise elder. He's not a conscious one, but he says things that an elder should say. He's 90-something years old, and he's still fighting against universal white race supremacy, as we will continue, as long as the Most High is willing, and the casket don't drop, be fighting for the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And let us all say, as Cartier always alluded to, and he going to say it when he comes on, let my soul and all that is in me praise and give thanks to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, who is center stage and who is only center stage in our studies. So that being said, let me bring Brother Cartier on from New York City. Cartier, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari, Imah Adora, Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you and your families.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend, and may he bless you and your family also. Cartier, do you have any commentaries on the disparity between the Rittenhouse case and the Ahmaud Arbery case?
Well, you said a mouthful, man, because we see universal white racist supremacy in full display, right? First of all, you stack the deck with 11 jurors. Now you're going to dictate who witnesses the whole trial. And you're talking about a public trial, but you don't want no black preachers, black men.
Come on. They something else, ain't they, brother? They something else.
Why? Because they fear the truth. They fear true justice. And black ministers and black preachers, they're supposed to have a connection with the Most High God, at least the nation of Israel. Our people, unfortunately, Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson don't know how to connect with Yah because they're leaning on idols. But these Europeans are right. No, we don't want no spiritual men in a courthouse because we know that judgment from Almighty God will shake everything up.
Exactly.
But, oh, my gosh. There's so much trouble in the world, man. We see Babylon falling apart with the Arbery case, right?
Exactly.
So we see people going in and out of this man's property, Mr. English, and they trying to categorize our brother, Ahmaud Arbery, as the only criminal who was, like, visiting him. And they ain't got nothing on him.
Right.
But it's just amazing to see that we have two systems of justice going on at the same time, right?
Exactly.
And both involve our people and Europeans. Now, as far as Babyface Nelson, I think we call his brother.
Babyface Nelson. You're right.
They trying to get him because he shot two or three European people. He ain't shooting no brothers or sisters. He
right.
shot his own people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to show him sympathy and compassion because he was only 17 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to figure he ain't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to help. I don't know how you're trying to help. You bring assault rifles when you're trying to help. If I'm trying to help, I ain't even got a pistol. I don't even have a pocket knife if I'm trying to help, right?
Exactly.
With first aid. Do you know, there's like military people that are doctors on the front line. I know you know because you're Marine.
Exactly.
And they don't carry guns. They don't
guns. They don't.
Right? They carry a sign across the medic, right?
Exactly.
So you're a paramedic going into a volatile situation, but you got an assault rifle and you're only 17. But his story, they was trying to get him. Yeah. Why was they trying to get him? Because you are the threat with your assault rifle. That's why they were trying to get you. Had you not had that, they wouldn't have even been thinking about you. Am I right or wrong? And then, then you shot somebody. Once you shot somebody, then you turn it up 10 notches. Right?
Exactly.
So you shoot somebody, I'm going to come at you with a skateboard, too, and crack you upside your head because you shot an innocent man. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unfortunately, the guy with the skateboard got shot, too. Bam. You trying to hit somebody with a skateboard, he got an assault weapon. What was you thinking?
Exactly.
But a lot of madness going on. Huh?
Because it would be like me going to a party, knowing that the situation is all of this drinks and whatnot going on. And I choose to take a pistol to the party. But I said I had some band-aids in my pocket in case somebody got hurt. But I'm going to go down and shoot. Come on, man. It's the same lane. It would be lame. You would say, Soup, would you take the pistol to the party? I had some band-aids. I was trying to help folks. I would make sure they weren't drinking too much. Come on. You said, Soup, come on, man. Stop it.
And he had the bag. Did he help anybody?
No.
He was helping himself get away. That's what was going on.
Exactly.
But even more serious than that, Rona ain't going nowhere. She raising her ugly head again.
Exactly.
And if you ain't got Yaja refuge, Rona going to come knocking on your door.
Knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. You better believe it.
They say people that got vaccinated is in the ICU. People that got vaccinated is in the ICU? Okay.
And you making these people, you mandate these people to take this poison. And then it's not really helping them. You can't, contrary, we say it all the time on the show. If y'all want you, he going to get you. I don't care what kind of shots you take. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And I know you're a veteran, man. And Veterans Day, they propping that up. They boosting that up. But how do they treat our veterans? How do they treat the national veterans?
Tacky, trashy, and a terroristic.
What?
Tacky, trashy, and a terroristic.
Yeah, they put on the news about these four Marine veterans that went into Africa, Niger.
Right.
On this secret mission, and four of them got killed. And he told the families of these four different servicemen totally different stories from each other.
Right.
They decided to get together and find out the truth and found out they was being told different stories.
Right.
No accountability, no nothing. But that's how, you know, the Daughter of Babylon operates.
Exactly.
I don't know why our people submit service to them. What will we see going on? Universal white racist supremacy and privilege and how they treat our people. Why would you serve these people in their military?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I don't get it.
Well, you know, many a time, Cartrell and fellow students, when they came back from those wars, Korea War, World War II, and even during that so-called Civil War, they treated us tacky, trashy, and unterroristic. Neely Fuller Jr. said that. Yeah, Neely Fuller Jr. said that, Cartier, and I have to concur with him.
I am not putting my life on the line for America, not the way you're treating my people.
Exactly.
You're not apologizing. You're not trying to repair the damage that you have done. I would never tell any of my family, put your life on the line for this nation. Oh,
I don't blame you, Cartier. I don't blame you. Given the history of this country, I don't blame you.
Why would you do it? Because veterans come home and get shot by cops.
You better believe it.
And no telling what a vet been through.
Hell,
sacrifice for this nation.
Hell. Believe you me, I know. Hell. Okay. Well, Cartrell, let us bring on Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan, and may the Most High bless you, Sister Yehudi.
Your mic is God bless you, Sister Yehudi.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, brothers. Shalom.
Shalom,
listening to some good stuff here, y'all talking. I want to bring up the last part that Cartrell, you people joining the military. I had met Mr. Jefferson He was one of the Tuskegee Airmen. I was in a store, and I recognized him from a documentary because, you know, I love documentaries.
Right.
Me
and
too.
And I was amazed that I recognized him, et cetera, and so forth. And I asked him, I said, if he's not in a hurry, I had a question. I said, what were you thinking, what you can in a little time, when you got captured and you're coming back here to the United States? He said, first of all, he was surprised that the Germans knew more about him than he knew that they knew when they pulled up his record.
Right.
And I'll explain more of things he said with that. But the second thing, he said, you know, it was a waste of time. He said, yes, we made history. But when you look at today, the young people, and how we have not progressed, he said, in our time, back in the 40s, we did it. When we come back, we felt we would get a little more respect, but we didn't. Okay? Which is true.
Not at all.
Nope.
And then he said, on top of that, that our people would change and work within our own communities, which we've always talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so disappointed. And we briefly talked about it depends on where you live, that you have community-based people that help you out. But overall, he said, we have not gone anywhere to the extent that we think. We don't, we're not chattel, you know, but that we're still in a form of pain. And the second thing, when you're talking about Babyface Nelson, that was funny. I was watching, observing him crying, and I just did not. It didn't move me. And I couldn't understand why the judge, if someone can elaborate, admonished the lawyer, the prosecutor. Yeah.
He's on that team. He's on Rittenhouse. Right. He's on, excuse me, Sister Hood. He's on Rittenhouse's side. He's on the defense side.
Now, it was something that he said. I missed a little bit. It's something that the attorney had said that the judge got irate. Something to the effect that he was misleading on the questions or something. But anyway, then you guys, just brothers, discussed about a black preacher. What was that comment about?
In the Ahmaud Arbery trial, the Reverend Al Sharpton of the what the coalition he fought of.
Go ahead.
He's in the courtroom because Ahmaud Arbery's mother wasn't there today, so he was sitting in for her. And somebody noticed that he was in there, and the defense attorney objected to his presence being there.
Oh.
And got up and said he don't want no black preachers up in here.
Wasn't that offensive? I mean, although we don't care anything about the black preachers, so-called brother preachers ourselves, but the fact for him to say that was so bold and right out front.
Okay.
Said, what if we had an audience of people with Colonel Saunders mask on? I don't know what he's trying to imply, but shows you how ignorant even a learned lawyer will come out of his face to say something as ignorant as that.
Well, you know, Cartrell and Sosia Hootie, that's mixing apples and oranges. They may be the fruit, but they ain't the same. What that man is talking about is nonsense.
You know, Jane Elliott, which I watched today, I try to be up on current events when I get on Real Talk, of course, try to sharpen.
Right.
Some people may not agree with her, and she said, you know, being a Caucasian woman, her parents were ridiculed. She was, her children, her husband. And they would say she's a in lover, you know.
Right.
She didn't
right.
care because she said, call her on my cousin.
Right.
And she's the one that did the blue-eyed and brown-eyed test back in the 60s.
Right.
Because she was so hurt. Every time she talked about Martin Luther King, she'd well up. And she understood that this nation, and I've said it before, since 1776, determined that they were going to be called white. That's how they united each other.
Exactly.
It didn't matter if you came from Polish, Germany, anywhere in Europe, and you look like us, no matter if your nose is big or small, or you have a little tan, or you pink, we're going to say we're white. And like she said, I'm not white. I'm either pink or I'm tan.
Right.
Not unless I'm white like my hair, because her hair is white.
Right.
And
it wasn't just about, I'm sorry, Sister Yehudi.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just about their race. It was more about religion, the Roman Catholic Church, and these people were Protestant, so they wanted to practice whatever religion they could. Not under the auspices of the Roman Catholic Church. So the people that fled to America are called white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, WASP.
You're right. There's so much in history. I was focused on how they developed to be in unison despite what part of Europe they come from, you know. If you come from Ireland, which I couldn't say that word, or Austria or Australia, bind together and say we're all white. Because, you know, there was a law passed in the late 70s. If you are white, male, been in the United States for a year and no trouble, you automatically what? A citizen. That's a fact. Welfare wasn't started, which we thought for people of color. That started in the 1900s to the 1890s. Because it was more than just in the 1920s. What was that? The Depression. They had that even earlier. And single white men, mainly white men, they call it with children, can get on a form of welfare, even before the FDR agreement. So it's so much in history that we don't know about this country and what they did to benefit Caucasians. Even if people say, I don't see color, I'll just say this far, I don't see color, they may make that statement, or I didn't do it, I wasn't there, but you are benefiting from the system. So you're just as guilty as your you're like your ancestors. Because once we progress, it's even happening now. You look at Bill Cosby. He wanted to buy, like you said, NBC. So it has not changed. So I do, every Caucasian people to me in this country, all over the world, is accountable. I do, it's not hate, it's just awareness.
So what you got to know, Sister Yehudi,
mm-hmm.
not to interrupt you, but the people of this country stand on the founding principles of what? The founding fathers.
Right, and they were.
And these men were white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, universal white racist supremacists.
That's a nice name.
To the theory of Darwin, who talks
right.
about only survival of the fittest and only
mm-hmm.
the strong survive. And it broke it down into the species of man, where
mm-hmm.
they categorized the species of man. And they categorized us as 3/5 of a human being. So this
yeah.
is the foundation of what this nation stands on, that they are superior, that we are 3/5 of a human being, that they are the men, not the women, but the men that have the right by... they call it divine destiny to dominate the earth like they do.
That's their ideology. But one more thing. Remember, you probably can say it better than word it better than I can, Katrio. What Oscar did say, especially through the Dred Scott, that no white man, how did they say it? No white man can, or is it no color? Tell me, was that they? Otherwise, the white man don't have to listen to a colored man or a black man at the time that they say they don't have to listen to him. Nothing. That's why many times, just like when they would lynch people, not because they did anything wrong, because of the color of their skin. And it was a program about these Karens today are still thriving, like the Karens of yesteryear. They would lie on these black men to say they raped them or anything like that. So we see the pattern, and this is what we're trying to project with the public, and I'll say this, and through the studies, through the scriptures, how it relates even today. Hello.
These are the same people who put on the facade that they're so concerned about animals and animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
They put us below animals.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it throughout the criminal justice system.
Right.
Because if you treated a dog like the way they treated us, they would be up in arms.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Well, Katrio and Sister Yehudi, those were great commentaries. Let's bring the star of the show on, shall we? Chapter 11. Chapter 11, Yo, we got another fair weather friend finna join in the fray. He finna, as we say in football, he finna pile on. With friends like that, you don't need enemies. May the Most High bless us. May he direct and order our steps so we don't lean to our own understanding. And let's get busy. Now, Zophar, the Namathite, joining in the fray, says in reply to Job, is a multitude of words unanswered? Just because you're talking a lot, you think your words can't be answered? That's what he's saying. Must a loquacious person be right? A talkative person? You're talkative, Joe. And just because you got a lot of words and you're talkative, must you be right? Your prattle, your talk may silence other men. Now, all that old talking you got going on, Joe, now you may put other men to silence. You may mock without being rebuked, because you're talking a lot. And said, my doctrine is pure, because you're out talking to everybody. And I have been innocent in your sight. You're declaring that you're innocent, and you're talking a lot about it. You ain't getting nobody time to talk. But what that Yah might speak. Now, if Yah were able to be said something and talk to you himself, he will tell you the secrets of wisdom. And surely he's right in that case. For there's many sides to sagacity, many sides to good judgment. He's telling Joe, you ain't always on the right. You're talking a lot. You ain't getting nobody else time to talk. And just because you're talking a lot, that don't make you right. Now, if Yah was here to speak for himself, he'd tell you there's many sides to sagacity. Many sides to good judgment, not just your side, Job. And know that Yah has overlooked for you some of your iniquity. Yah has overlooked for you. But he said, Yah, they looked over, but you got something going on, Job. You're doing this whole lot of talking. You ain't getting nobody else time to talk. But now if Yah was here, he would tell you, you ain't got all the sense in the world, Job, like you think you got. And surely in the case he could look in the mirror and say that Zophar himself, in his regard. But he's throwing, what do we say? He projecting on Job. Well, he's the same thing. You're saying Job is dogmatic and pontificating, but yet you come in, pile on, and doing the same thing that you accuse Job of doing. You're pontificating and being dogmatic, but you're projecting on Job what's on you. And sometimes we as a human being have a tendency to do that.
So, Yamsu.
Yes, sir.
there's a valuable lesson we could all learn from this.
Okay.
Because Job is talking to his friends.
Right.
He shouldn't have said nothing to them. Every problem that Job had, he should have kept to himself and be speaking to Yah.
I like that.
I told you, when you try to take your problems to your friends.
I like that. That makes sense to me.
It's going to compound your problems because your friends don't have the answer.
I like that. That makes sense according to the Most High.
If Job was the Most High.
Right. I like that. I like that, Katria.
They're asking, I'm just interjecting here, I'm not disagreeing or agreeing,
right.
But it appears he is interjecting these questions because he's listening to Job, his friend. He's saying, should
right.
a multitude of words go unanswered?
Right.
And should a man of lips be declared right? Otherwise, will the Most High answer you while you keep going on and on and on and on and on?
Right.
And
he shouldn't be doing that.
Huh?
He shouldn't be doing that in front of his friends.
And he asked another question. Should your babbling silence men? And he asked another one.
So he shouldn't be babbling in front of men.
Uh-huh.
If you got a problem with Yah, don't take it to men. Don't speak of your problems or your issues before men. Take it straight to Yah.
I like that. That makes sense. Now, Zophar said a mouthful on that one. He said a mouthful on that one, Sister Julia.
One more question, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and this friend is asking him, and should you mock? And should you mock and no one make you ashamed? That's Vinny's question. Go ahead.
And he has every right to ask that because
right.
they hear him mocking. You mocking Yah. Job should not be issuing any statements in front of his friends. His
right.
conversation with the Most High should be private. His friends
right.
should not know any of his issues. He should take his personal problems to Yah and leave his friends out of it because they have no solution for him.
Well, no, Cartrell, that would include not only his friends, family, sister, brother, and any other for that matter. Because if you don't want these folk coming at you, they can't solve your problem anyway. Zophar couldn't do it. Beldad couldn't do it. Elizabeth couldn't do it. So why bring your problems to these people? Why, a lot of folks
don't tell your friends, your family, your personal problems.
Right.
Take your personal problems that you have, especially if you got issue with Yah, take it personally to them. And don't say nothing to nobody else.
Exactly. Now, we on one accord on that. Praise Yah. Let us continue. I like that. I like that, Kajim. Good diagnosis of that. I missed that, but you didn't miss it, brother. It's a good diagnosis. Would you discover the mystery of Yah by all your talking and so on and so forth? So they got a right to rebuff him because he never should have came to him in the first place, as Kajim rightly alluded to. Would you discover?
Excuse me for interrupting. Didn't they come to him?
And they should have left.
Right, but hold on. But that being said, he was under no obligation to spill the beans to them about how he was feeling. Cottrell's right. He was not mandated to even that they sit and got down on it. He was not mandated to go to them, take your problem to your job, your mama, your brother, your friend. He was not. We are not mandated to talk to those folks because those people can't sign. Now, when you open up the floodgates, they can pile on you. So, Contreras is right. You're not just because somebody come to you and they ain't coming correct, you're not mandated to tell them your problems. Contreras is right. And we're missing the point here. We need to stay within the thought of what Cartier implanted in our mind, you're under no obligation when folk come to you to put your business out there like that. For some of us take our business to jobs and everybody else. Can't none of them folks solve your problem. They don't think they go around talk about you and talk at you, but they can't solve your problem.
Okay. What's the first thing?
Yeah, we're in verse 7.
They're only exacerbating Job's problem. Because you read the last chapter, he ain't talk about the boils. He ain't talk about his wife or the loss of his children or the loss of his wealth. He's talking about the friends in his face right now. He's like,
right.
Better I not have been born at all. You got war coming at me. And what's the war? His friends.
Right.
Why are you going to war with Job? Why are you
right.
going to war with him?
Right.
You haven't seen evil in him. You haven't seen unrighteousness in him. Matter of fact, you
right.
spoke of his good character. So something else must be going on. That's the first thing that came to their mind.
Right.
Something else must be going on. Because I know Job. It's my man right.
right
here. And I know Job, if you really
right.
know him.
But, you know, contrary to Sushi Hootie, now,
uh-huh.
if there's not anything obvious to the human eye that, as far as iniquity is concerned, they had no right coming to him out of pocket in the first place. And secondly, he don't have to explain himself to them. And so
they're not explaining themselves to him. They don't expose their iniquity, their righteousness, or their iniquity. You take that to Yah. Yah,
right.
I did this. You ain't got to tell all your friends what you did.
Exactly. It ain't their business. Let's continue. Would you discover the mystery of Yah? Would you discover the limit of the Almighty with all this talking? Higher than heaven? What can you do with all this talking, Job? Gibeon and Sheol, what can you know what to do with all this talking and talking at us? It's measured as longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Should he pass by or confine or call an assembly? Who can stop him? For he knows deceitful men. This man, Zophar, is implying that Job is a deceitful man. And when he sees iniquity, you got some iniquity in you, though. He does not, does he not discern it? So you got to, he got to see something in you. A hollow man will get understanding. An empty man will get understanding. When a wise ass is born, a hollow man will get understanding. When a wise ass is born, a man, that's deep. Y'all missing it. He said, and he said, Job, you're an empty man. You hollow. You ain't got nothing in you. And that's why you ain't got no understanding. And you won't get an understanding. You know when you get some understanding, Joe, you so empty, you so hollow, and you ain't got no understanding. You know when you're going to get some understanding, Joe? When a wise ass is born a man. You ain't going to never get it. That's cold, man. Cottrell, that's cold.
He's saying a wild ass got a better chance of being born a man than you get some understanding.
You get understanding because you empty. Ain't nothing in you, Joe. You deceitful. And you empty. And you got some iniquity
principles that he's talking about are real.
They're real.
But it doesn't apply in his situation. That's the
right.
problem. It doesn't apply in this situation. It does not apply. So this is why you need to keep your problems to yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't take them to your friends. Don't take up to your family because they don't know what's really going on. You know who
right.
knows what's really going on?
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov.
The Most High knows what's really going on with you. That's why
right.
Job should not have said anything to his friends. I'm not telling
right.
you all. Nothing. Leave me alone. When he said
right.
leave me alone, he probably was talking to his friends. Just leave
right.
me alone.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And Katriel, you're so right.
Let me deal with this
so
by
right.
myself. And
right.
and his friend Zohar is right. You shouldn't
right.
be talking so much to your friends, Joe. Shut your mouth and deal
and
with it yourself. You're talking too much.
We all got that problem. We need to learn how to guard our tongues, all of us. We going putting business out there on us and everybody else. Keep your business to yourself. And don't be putting other people's business out there either.
His friends. Ammunition to respond to what he's saying, right?
Exactly. You open up the gates. You open up them can of words, Joe. You're right, Cartier. Good point. Okay, chapter verse 13. Now he's telling him, but if you direct your mind, get your mind right, and spread forth your hands toward Yah, if there's iniquity with you, remove it. Now, that's a good solution. If Job is right.
Good counsel. Good
right,
counsel.
Good counsel. I mean, but it's the wrong time with the wrong person.
And the wrong situation.
Exactly. He said, do not let injustice reside in your house. Go ahead, Sociology.
You know, I'm listening to it. I don't think they really know. I don't, what I mean when I say they don't know, I don't think they really know Job. And I really think hearts of heart, they're trying to help, but
No, Sister Udi. Let me tell you something.
No, she's right. She's right.
No.
They're trying to help.
By using ancient
principles.
Right.
They're not using the Torah. They're using principles of good and evil. You must have done something, Joe.
Cottrell, here's the deal. Yeah. I concur with both of y'all, but I see a different line of understanding here. They knew this man. They knew about him. They spoke about him early on at the beginning, how he did for folks and whatnot. But they tried to get dirt on this man. They trying to dig up dirt on him that's not even there. They knew it, but they you know how people like to get dirt on you? Oh, yeah, a soup. A Cottrell, Sister Hootie, they think they so perfect. And they do this and that. They try to help them. I know they got dirt on them. And it's up to me to find it out.
Okay,
no.
But
they're looking at his situation. Uh-huh. And from their experience in life, they saying there's something wrong here.
Uh-huh.
There's something wrong here. Because what we've seen in the past, based on our experience,
okay.
Your situation is because you're hiding something. And all you got
really
got to do, Joe, all you got to really do, Joe, because he's trying to help you here. He's trying to help you here. And they're giving him ancient wisdom, which they're supposed to do when you're trying to help your friend.
Right.
But they don't really understand what's really going on.
And they
it's
don't.
Above and beyond that. And what they're giving him. What they're giving him is good counsel.
Right.
They're telling him to repent, turn to Yah, admit what you've done, even though they know, they don't know. They think he's hiding something. He's not hiding anything.
Uh-huh.
He's not hiding anything. And he's trying to convince them, yo, my man, I'm not hiding nothing.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, yes, you are, because you would be in his condition if you wasn't.
Well, see, this is interpretation here on 14 where it says, if wickedness were in your hand, if, it didn't say it was, then if it is, put it far away and do not let perversiveness dwell in your tent.
That's good counsel.
And they say, yeah, if.
For everybody, because you might be suffering what Job is suffering because of your iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're missing a bigger picture here. They're giving good counsel. But what did Yah say? My ways are not your ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And so what they're doing, they're giving good counsel. But they're not letting the Most High footsteps direct it or be their pathway. Because as you alluded to the fact, there was no Torah. There was no written word of Yah then. And so yeah, they're going by good understanding and wisdom outside of Yah. But that's why you need Yah to get the complete package. You have
you
to have Yah in your life to get the complete package.
You know what, Yopsuf?
Yeah.
Job opened up the door for their dialogue.
Right.
Because he should have kept his mouth shut and did just what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yet the dialogue was revealed
was
for a reason. Yeah.
It was Job's fault that he opened up the door to the dialogue with his friends. Because he started out 7 days. They ain't say nothing. He sent in ashes. He should have kept it that way until resolution came from Yah.
Exactly.
I'm not saying nothing to none of y'all because I know I haven't done anything wrong.
You and me both, brother. So
us move on. Okay, I may differ, Yansu. I'm not. I guess it's because I'm not looking at opinions. Even I respect your opinion. I'm looking at unfolding of the president of the dialogue between the three friends and him, and under the and how each chapter is going to keep revealing over, you know, some things. So that's what I'm looking at. So excuse me, I'm not trying to say you're wrong.
But they're giving him good counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were right in regards to personal sin, you sinning, the counsel that they're giving Job is right. And people that are sinning and going against Yah should listen to these men's counsel.
Hallelujah.
Like, I don't know everything about you two. I can say some positive things, but I don't really know you. You know, that's what my experience was thinking. I'm not disagreeing with you, Yamsu, but I also thought in a way that what they thought they were doing was correct. And you were getting, because what you've experienced, how people are, and they're really not your friend. So I can get that, too.
So we have a saying. We have a saying in Israel. Iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
So a brother sharpens the countenance of his friend. And if you're a true friend, you want to make sure your friend is right. And that's all these brothers are trying to do. Even though their counsel to him is misconstrued because they don't really know what's going on.
Exactly.
They're trying to sharpen Job. Like, Job, we want you to get back on your feet to the status that you was, but you have to admit something that you're not telling us. And he has to tell him nothing because he didn't do anything.
Right, but look at Job. Look, first of all, okay, I agree. Even Job is beginning to reckon. He even questioned, why is and righteous? Well, the Most High said he's righteous, correct? Even the Most High said he questions himself. And he's beginning to recognize in the next chapter, that this is bigger than me. In each chapter that we go through, how he is being taught certain things and his friends. So I'm not going to go any further, but go ahead, Yamsu. This is
okay. Okay.
But it shows that Job, in the quagmire that he's in, he still seeks Yah, which is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes,
in this quagmire,
yes.
we're supposed to be like Job, asking questions of Yah. Why am I in this situation? And guess what? Yah will tell you the answer. I'm going to tell you why you're in this situation. If we ask Yah, our people ain't asking Yah why we're in this situation. We trying to make the best of a bad situation. Trying to make the best of a bad situation. No, make the best.
On that note, I'm
going to
leave up
there.
Best of bad situation.
You're supposed to find out why you in that bad situation.
I'm going to move on then, y'all.
What first?
It says,
says,
thank you. Thank you, Contrail. Thank you, Sister Hoodie. Do not let injustice reside in your tent, in your home. Then, free of blemish, you will hold your head high. You'll be able to get right with Yah. And these situations that you find yourself in, as Carfield alludes to, this quagmire, and they're right. If the dynamics were right, you will hold your head high. They do this, free of blemish. And you won't have to worry about these boys anymore. The loss of loyalty to your wife. Your children expired, your loss of your property and so on, things would get right with you if they only knew the whole dynamics. And when in straits, be unafraid. You won't be afraid when you're connected with Yah. They're certainly right. If the situation were in accordance to what they were saying, you would then put your misery out of mind. Consider, it is water that has flowed past. Water under the bridge. Life would be brighter than noon. You will shine. You will be like the morning. You will be secure, for there is hope in Yah, and get yourself together. They're serving me right. And in trench, you will rest secure in Yah. And you will lie down undisturbed from your boys, from the disloyalty of your wife, from the loss of your sons and daughters, from the loss of your property. You'll lie down, not even worried about a thing. The great will court your favor. Then people will start coming back to you. Yo, get yourself right with Yah. Get your mind right. Get away from that iniquity. Get close to Yah. And everything's going to be gravy. The great will court your favor. The eyes of the wicked will pine away. Escape is cut off for them. And suggesting and implying and inferring that that's why you cut off. They have only their last breath to look forward to. Like they're implying, Job. That's the only thing you got to look forward to because you ain't right. But if you got right, man, I mean, it'd be happy days for you. But like I said, Cottrell said it succinctly. They were right in one aspect. And Cottrell said he was right. They opened up, Job opened up their can of worms. And Job put himself in that position to be chastised. And he never should have said anything to them in the first place. But they were right in the sense that what they were saying, if this man was wicked, they were right on point. But they don't know the fourth because Yah said, my ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my ways. You really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Job should have came to me. He shouldn't even be talking to y'all because y'all can't do nothing for him. Y'all doing exactly what y'all supposed to be doing if he was wrong. Job ain't wrong, though. Job did is come to y'all in the first place. Well, actually, y'all came to him, but he should open up his mouth and doing all this pritter-patter because y'all can't do nothing for him. Y'all just doing exactly what y'all should have been doing, getting him right, but he wasn't wrong. But y'all should have did a little extra, too. Outside of being pontificating and dogmatic, y'all should have showed the brother some love. So y'all right, y'all wrong, because instead of getting hard on the brother, should have showed, y'all ain't asked Job, can I help you with the boys? Hey, can I help bury your children? Can I go talk to your wife? Can I try to get my folks together? Because, you know, we got a little something too, and try to find out who got your stuff. So, and you know, they could have did much more than what they did, pontificating and being dogmatic. But like Cottrell said, I had to concur with it. Job should have never opened up that can of worms because only somebody can solve your problems is the Creator. And as I said, they were right, but they were wrong. Cottrell, Sister Udi, y'all got the flow. Y'all got the mic.
So these brothers didn't temper their iron sharpening iron with compassion. When iron sharpening iron, you have to temper it with compassion. Job should not have revealed himself fully to his friends. Even though he's trying to help him, they were more, you know, of an adversary to him than a help. But the Most High had Job open up his mouth to his friends. You know why? Because they're not basing anything on the laws of Moses. The whole dialogue that we're seeing is based on whether you're doing right or wrong, whether you're committing sin and transgressions and iniquity against our Creator. And guess what? That's not just for the nation of Israel. That's for all nations. Because Job wasn't an Israelite, nor were his friends. But they knew right and wrong, didn't they? And they knew the heart of the Creator, what the Creator required. So we don't need the laws of Moses to know what the law, what the Most High requires out of his heart, as far as doing good and evil. We have to be worthy to be the exclusive servant to the nation of Israel, to reclaim our heritage, to serve Yah as his servants. I'm going to leave it right there.
The only thing I'm going to say is tomorrow when you read 12, that Job is going to answer. And he's going to answer with some wisdom.
So the dialogue that the Most High put Job under pressure to make him speak, not only is Job bringing forth wisdom, he's bringing forth prophecy as well. So we're going to watch for the prophecy out of the words of Job. Because the only way you get a diamond is through pressure, right? So Job is under pressure, and you're going to see the precious words that come out of his mouth.
Okay. So, Judy?
Hmm?
Yes,
sir.
Do you have any more commentaries to make on that?
No, not really. Just thinking about tomorrow, and we'll cover 12.
Oh, you way ahead of us, huh? Tomorrow. All right, then.
And you wonder why people don't read the Old Testament chapter by chapter.
Right.
It's so exciting.
Right.
That But you, something you spoke, something you said, Katia, that will help you have a better foundational, better understanding.
I'm a carpenter. You have to start at the foundation. You cannot build towers in Manhattan unless the foundation is strong. And if you don't know, your foundation is strong, you're liable to fall for anything. You're basically tumbleweed. And when strong we come along, here you go. You're going. You ain't got no foundation.
And I like that part, Cartrell, and Sushihuti. When Cartrell alluded, the fact that they couldn't sharpen each other because of lack of compassion and mercy toward Job. And Job putting all his business out there. So the sharpening aspect was taken out of the equation. Job should have never said anything. These brothers should have, they didn't know Yah, because Yah said, my ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. So they didn't know everything. But Cartrell alluded to, they could have came a little better to be able to sharpen the brother. They could have showed a little mercy, a little compassion, a little love, instead of being dogmatic and pontificating.
And you know a little oil on that sword will keep the sparks down.
Man, what you said, brother? What you said?
A little oil in that sword will keep the sparks down.
But, you know, it's interesting that Job recognized what he is to his friend. So, he knows. He's not boo-boo the fool.
Right.
So I'm trying to sharpen Yam Su's sword. Yam Su trying to sharpen my sword.
Amen.
A little oil on the sword. Ain't no sparks going to be flying.
Right.
It's going to be a smooth sharpening, right?
Exactly. A little love, compassion, consideration, mercy, kindness, go a long way. That's all, putting oil on the sword.
And that's your like sharp, right, with that oil, son.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even touch it with your finger. It might start bleeding.
Right.
I kind of been through that with Job in a way, a similar, not as depth. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. A so-called friend of mine, we start discussing scriptures. She claims she worships the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. But yet she's a Christian, and she believes in the New Testament. And when you start conversing with someone on the scriptures, like, you know, this, compare these notes between his friends and Job. I had to fast with her. What I mean is I had to do some fasting before I started. And we talked, I think, for like 7 months, 2 to 3 days out of a week. She was wearing me out. And she didn't want to be teachable, but she was trying to challenge me at the end and say to strengthen my resolve in the Creator. You see what I'm saying? So I can get what you're saying, Yam Su. Your opinions are jumping too. Like when I read stuff, I think. Because we know these scriptures, we don't know.
No, I don't have opinions, sister. I have commentary.
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm not putting a wrong in here. Because of your experience, you know, when you say, well, you shouldn't talk to other people, and I'm saying I have a similar situation with a friend of mine, so I can identify what Job is going through in terms of communicating with his friend. Like I said, I was fasting, but spiritually I was being attacked. I'm glad we're reading this story because people that are lit can identify. There's some form of identification. So I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
You know, I'm saying you got a lot of experience. And
right.
And when you, you know.
So there's a lot to be learned.
Huh?
Don't take your problems to your friends.
See, and I'm
Take
saying I learned. That was
the most
nice. And I said I'm never going to do that again.
Right.
Because your friends don't have no help for you. The Most High will direct your steps and lead you to the solution to your problem.
Because
you don't have to be coming from your friends.
Based on my experience or observation,
that's
right. That's where I said things. I don't say things in regard. I base on, and I'm testing it to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And based on my experience and our observation, I'm making the commentary.
Right.
They're correct. Because none of those so-called friends, and sometimes mama, brother, sister, the other, they didn't there. They just gave me something to talk about and talk at me. Okay, so if I make commentary, it's based upon experience and our observation of what other people too. And you hear other people say, man, I never went to them. All they did, tell everybody else on the job, and then they keep coming at me like that. So with these brothers in Cottrell, and the Most High is right. Them people ain't going to solve your problem. Ain't nobody ever solved Yom Suk's problem. There was a human being. Men cannot solve your problem. They ain't never solved my problem. The Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and bless his holy name, is the only one to help Yom Suk in any situation. There have been people that is assisted. Mm-hmm. But Yom Suk been dead a long time ago, depending on other people.
Right. Because they'll let you down every time. And even
you
though
believe it, sister.
At the end she admitted there was no Christmas, Easter, et cetera, and so forth, as human beings, we think a person will have a growth.
Right.
And that individual didn't really grow.
Right.
And you find that people are useless when it comes to, as a friendship, that you need to cut the ties.
Exactly.
Cut it off. So I see your point that you're saying anything, any problems that you have, go to the Most High. That's what you're saying, period.
And Cottrell is dead on point. He shot the arrow right down the center. He didn't hit it to the heart of the matter. He ain't lying.
Bullseye.
Bullseye. Well, fellow students, Sister Hootie and Cottrell, we need a walk me down. I ain't talking about a drink. We need a beautiful song. And Cottrell's going to take the lead. Don't sing it, Cottrell. Just go and read the notes.
I was going to say an ocean cocktail while I'm drinking an ocean cocktail listening to Moray.
Y'all keep twisting up my name, but my name means crown of Yah. Okay.
So have an ocean cocktail with me, fellas.
All right. So I just want to say this.
It's refreshing.
We individually have powers with the Most High, just like Job. And all Job had to do, not rely on his friends, but go straight to the Most High.
Hallelujah. Praise God. All thanksgiving.
The moral to the whole story. And we
haven't
gotten to the end, but we hear this dialogue with his friends, and his friends had no help for Job. Nowhere in the dialogue is Joe's friends really helping him. So it teaches us a lesson, not just the nation of Israel, but all nations worldwide. Your help comes from the Most High, your creator. And Job explained it. We come from like a milky substance. And then Yah did something with the cheese and all that, and we come up with bones and flesh, and here we are. How he does it? Science can't even explain it. So we're just as wonderful as the sun. You can't explain the sun. Somebody explain the sun to me. Can anybody explain the sun to me? And if you explain the sun to me, you're a genius. Because anything that burns, burns out. If I take a piece of paper, it's just a matter of time before it burns out. There's no firefighters controlling the sun. What fuels the sun to give us daylight and heat? And the plants and the vegetables that we eat. But guess what? We rely on the sun, don't we? Who created the sun? It sure wasn't Jesus, because the sun was created way before the New Testament in the book of Genesis. Moses had to go back and see what went on. And imagine that, taking a trip to see the beginning of creation. How great was Moses? You can't even make a movie like that. So anyway,
Cartier, I think you may be incorrect here. I think the Romans created the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Oh,
Son and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm thinking you talking about the sun that shines, and you making a joke talking about the okay.
But you know what? Sister Hootie, some of the most serious things. Some of the most serious things are said in jest.
Yeah, that's true.
So all the New Testament believers.
Yeah.
All the New Testament people who are under that doctrine that throw the Old Testament aside. Do you know what the Old Testament says? It says that the sons, plural, of God, the Most High Elohim, saw that the daughters of men were fair to look upon. And they had intercourse and created men of renown. That's in Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. The sons, plural, of the Most High. And then in the second book of the Old Testament, the Most High tells Pharaoh, let my son go. What son was he talking about? Talking about a whole nation, men, women, children, elders, goats, sheep, flock. He's talking about the nation of Israel. It was his son, the singularity. We are, as a nation, Yah's son, not one man.
Right.
That's the Old Testament. All right?
You know,
Exodus 4, verse 22.
What is it?
For reference. What did Yah say Israel was his son? Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my son go, that he may serve me. Two things are implied there. You cannot serve Yah while you're in captivity under some other man, right?
Or serve
a man. You cannot serve Yah while he's in captivity in Egypt. Yah said, let him go so you can serve me.
Huh, Cartrell? Wait, what you just said? For some of these brothers and sisters got these altars in the backyard and on top of the roof. What did you just
doing say? Sacrifices and all kind of abominations that they're supposed to be doing?
They got the booths and the feasts and all that they doing here and whoop.
But you
serving
Yah.
Who you buying your
piece
of unleavened bread from? Who
you
buying your lamb from?
In captivity in misery, but yet you can do it now. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's
some of us are claiming that Yehoshua HaMashiach is the son. Wait a minute. Uh-huh. How he sees the son, did the Most High declare that Yehoshua HaMashiach is the son?
No.
He said, Israel is my son. He said, my sons went wayward when they married the daughters of men. So you know the angels are our big brothers, right?
Exactly.
Satan is our big brother. Gabriel, Mikael, Uriel. Raphael, they are big brothers.
Exactly.
Most High says, King David said, what is man that you are mindful of us? We are but a little lower than the angels.
Than the angels, yeah.
We're a little lower. A little lower.
Let me apologize. Let me interrupt. Time is skirting by, and you got a long song that I know you're going to do.
Song.
Vast interpretation.
What's
so
what is the
song? Yeah, Psalms, 118, and that's pretty lengthy. And Cartrell, you know, he liked to use multiple words. I'm using Zophar terms. I'm messing with him.
Tonight, I'm going to let the psalm speak for itself, all right?
Okay. Well, now, I like your commentary, man. Use multiple
words. The only
thing
I'm going to say about this psalm is that it's a psalm of thanksgiving to the Most High, right?
Praise God. Hey, look at it. And it's Thanksgiving.
We're in the month of November, and people getting ready for this Turkey Day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But trust me, thanksgiving to Yah is what?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
It ain't November 24th or 20, whatever freaking holy holiday y'all got set up for the one day in the year that you give thanks to Yah. No, we give thanks to Yah every day.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
And matter of fact, man, talk about it. Want to hear? Hang up. All thanks, praises to the Most High Yah. I don't know who made this song, but he had perception way before they made a holy day or holiday named Thanksgiving. And this should be the prayer for the holiday Thanksgiving, right? This should be the prayer.
Amen.
Give thanks to Yah, for he is good, for his gracious love is eternal. They try to say that God of the Old Testament is angry and he's mean. No. What did we just read here? Because how long has it been since he brought judgment to the children of men? We haven't had a flood since, right? Noah's time. How much evil is in the earth since Noah's time? Should Yah have judged the earth since Noah's time?
According to a human mind, I suspect we would agree.
Oh, yeah. If Yah had a mind like man, the earth would have been judged a long time ago, right?
But guess what?
His gracious love is eternal. We just read a Job where the Most High is appealing to all mankind. All mankind is supposed to submit to their creator. All mankind is supposed to be doing what is right and pleasing in the Yah, in the Most High's eyesight. Not just Israel. But we break off right here because Yah chose us. He says, let Yisrael now say, his gracious love is eternal. Yamsu, is Yah's gracious love eternal?
You better believe it, brother.
And I know you know because he told us that we worship Sodom and Gomorrah. We just open up our legs and everybody passed by, we just giving them some and we ain't even getting paid.
That's what he said.
Y'all been out here like that.
Yeah,
and he's still here talking on the phone.
Yeah, open up our leg and give him.
What'd you say, Patrick?
You didn't hear what he said.
I didn't say it. Y'all
said
it. I just say it. Y'all said it.
Right. In the last part.
He said, Israel, y'all worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Wait a minute. Time out. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? The Most High destroyed them. Not one of their people survived. Only Lot, who was affiliated with Abraham, survived Sodom and Gomorrah. None of the Sodomites, none of the Gomorrahites survived. Right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how are we worse than them? Oh, the Most High said, yeah. You open up your legs to everybody that passes by, and you don't even get paid. Damn.
I heard that part, but he said something else afterwards. Go ahead.
Oh, but I don't even go into details, but if you know your history, that's what we have to apologize for.
Mm-hmm.
We have to apologize for that. Because he's still doing what? The same freaking thing.
Opening up our legs to
anybody.
He's
still doing the same thing. That's why you got grandmas with tattoos and piercings.
All these different
grandma,
religions.
You got a tattoo. Grandma, you pissed. Grandma, you dyed your hair. Grandma, you in spandex? Lord have mercy on us. Because we're still doing worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, right? LGBTQ. We the poster child, ain't we?
We lead the parades. We lead the parades.
And the LGBT community is getting paid way more than us, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
We just opening our legs and everybody getting their thing off and we ain't getting paid at all. Still, to this day.
We open our legs up to the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, Black Lives Matter, the LGBT.
Good thing he didn't say we was bending over. Good thing he didn't say we were bending over.
Oh, they doing it with the LGBTQ, XYZ, trying to get it to a knee. They doing it with them.
So it's even worse now than what y'all described what we were doing. Because we're doing the same thing and even worse. Aren't we? Are we? Are we? Aren't we? We're doing worse than our fathers. Aren't we?
You better believe it.
Because at least they had a similitude of who was Yah. They weren't polluted by Western doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
We so polluted. We think, Mercedes-Benz is what makes us. our Range Rover tells our character. Really?
There are people out
Range
here
Rover,
all
the Mercedes-Benz,
right.
Your Acura, your Lexus, that's who you are? Okay, I got you.
It's the mentality. Remember, country, I don't know if y'all heard on the news that this African-American or black guy, whoever, where people died. He had a big concert, and there wasn't enough security, and had quite a few people died, and quite a few people were injured. It happened, what, a few days ago. Now people are suing. It made me think about that, because when you walk in, it's like his feature, his head. His mouth is open. You go through the mouth to get to the stadium. You know, I can't remember his name. I gotta ask my children because they up on these artists. There's nothing but Caucasian people. But I was just thinking how the stampede, and they said he didn't really do anything. He kept on with the music, and I said we're brainwashed. We're just, you know, coincide what you were talking about. We just selfish, material things. That people, all they want is heat and food and a shelter. And we want material things, big cars, big houses.
Well, one thing that that young brother, the artist, showed is that the Most High gifted us with music, that we can draw people worldwide based on the inspiration of our music. And our music was meant to give praise to Yah. That's why we read the Psalms, because our ancient fathers were renowned and known for their music, especially King David. But that music is on a negative vibe right now.
And I'm saying,
we don't realize the vibration of the words and the power of what comes out of us. What we say, what we sing, what we do, you make that environment.
Yeah.
So if you didn't create that positive environment, you see the results. Is he praising Yah with his music, with the talent that Yah gave him, gifted? Because that's what it's really meant for. And he's not praising Yah at all. He's praising materialistic things, earthly things, and as a result, you get the consequences.
So I do know what you're talking about.
They're trying to figure out why. What happened?
Sure.
A lot of them are selling their souls just to be famous and rich. You're compromising yourself just to be rich and famous. Which means that you're aligning yourself with the sons of darkness, and you're turning your back on Yah. You know, Yah don't like that. You're turning your back on me. I created you.
You know, I've heard people say, like, we're fanatic. You know, I have a song. I'll bring it up one day. I'll read it to you one day when we can put it in. Because we don't believe in the JC and various attributes and actions. And I said, we're not out of date, nor we're out of tune. We know who we are. And because the Most High, like you said, our ways are His and vice versa, who is to say that something major is going to happen? Things are happening now. Remember, you were talking about it. You clarified it. The fire, the earthquake. Now they're talking about shortage of, you know, food is up and a shortage. Material things are up and there's a shortage. Now they're saying that this COVID virus is going to be around for a long time. You're hearing so much that can derail you on trusting on the Most High. You brothers are more vocal than I am, because I talk to the Most High all the time. I have to tell people that. I go to Him for counsel. I don't. You know, there's nothing wrong in socializing and, like, we're discussing scripture to help each other. I'm serious on this. To build each other up, and not in a fake way. I'm talking about this because the world out there, the people in it are chaotic and they're psycho. And only one I can truly trust is the Most High.
Which is why the 118th Psalm is so important. And let me finish it.
And that's why I insist that we must move on. I love the commentaries, but we have 20 minutes left. So I must insist that we move on, fellow students.
Come on.
I will say this. The 118th Psalm is like an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmation you should say every day. And it says, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, for his gracious love is eternal. That's not belief. That's fact. Let Yisrael, the nation of Israel, now say, his gracious love is eternal, based on the things that we just talked about. Let the house of Aharon now say, his gracious love is eternal. And guess what? The house of Aaron is still alive. The seed of Aaron, Moses' brother, is still alive, even though we're in captivity. Let those who fear Yah now say, his gracious love is eternal. That's outside of the nation of Israel. That's the nations that Yah created. Whether you France, Germany, Nigeria, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Yah created you. Fear Yah and say, Yah's gracious love is eternal. When we, the nation of Israel, call on the name of Yah, I called on Yah in my distress, which is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to turn to your friends, your family, your whoever. The first thing you're supposed to do is what? Like King David, like Job should have done. I called on Yah in my distress, because you know Job was in distress. As we are in our distress, we can't talk to anybody who gets out of our distress. We must call upon Yah. Guess what? Yah answered me openly. Oh, if you call on him, he will answer you. But are you going to follow his directions? Yah is with me as he is with us. Yah said, I'm in your very mouth. All you got to do is call upon me. Call my name. And when you know that Yah is that close, when you just call upon his name, guess what? I will not be afraid. Afraid of what? If Yah is with you right there, he's the creator. What can people do to me? Anybody that's opposing you, threatening you, oppressing you, what can they really do to you if you got Yah in your mouth? Because he's so near. With Yah beside me as my helper, we say, no weapon formed against me can prevail. If Yah is on my side, what can man do to me? I will triumph over those who hate me. And, you know, we got a real cause, because I've always wondered, why do white people hate us as much as they do? They got Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi skinheads. What do we got? NAACP, Rainbow Coalition. We ain't trying to hate y'all. But you hate us. For what reason? We didn't put your women under duress and rape them and do whatever we felt like doing to them. Matter of fact, when we had dominion in earth, we torture people. But you, on the other hand, when we fell, I mean, you know, you did what you pleased. Matter of fact, you put us below animals. I'm going to continue. I called upon Yah my distress. That's the formula. And Yah answered me openly. Yah will answer you openly when you call upon him. Yah is with me. That's what I know. Yah has been with me since I was born. I will not be afraid. That's why I walk the earth in holy boldness. What can man do to me? Can't be afraid in this life when you know Yah. What can people do to me? I don't care if you're Russia, Germany, China. As long as I got Yah, you can't do nothing to me. With Yah beside me as my helper, I will triumph over those who hate me. That's an affirmation. It is better to take shelter in Yah, you know how to take shelter in Yah, than to trust in people. So Job kind of trusting in people because he's airing out his problems to his friends. Me, I don't air out my problems to my friends. I take it to Yah, to the shelter. It is better to take shelter in Yah than trust in princes. So Job had princes around him, and he's trying to give him counsel. And that counsel is good, but they don't really know what's going on. All the nations surround me. And, yeah, we scattered out into all the nations, but that should not put fear in us.
But in the name of Yah, I will defeat them. That's what we got to know. They surround me. They are around me. But in the name of Yah, I will defeat them. Yisrael, we have the victory. The battle is already won. They surround me like bees, but they will be extinguished like burning thorns. In the name of Yah, not in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Allah, but in the name of Yah, I will defeat them. Indeed, you oppressed me so much that I nearly fell, and we have fallen. But Yah has helped us. That's why we're here now, and we're a threat to you, and you fear us. Yah is my strength and protector. He has protected us all the way up to 2021. For he has become my deliverer, and he will deliver us. There's exaltation for deliverance in the tents of the righteous. You got to walk the righteous path in order to be delivered. Can't put your sins on somebody else. The right hand of Yah is victorious. Yes. The right hand of Yah is exalted. The right hand of Yah is victorious. That's what you got to know. The Creator, in his works, he's going to be victorious. I will not die but live. Oh, wait a minute. What did you just say? I will not die? Everybody dies. What are you talking about? I will not die. You might die, but Yah will restore your soul. And when Yah restores your soul, what's he going to do? To recount the deeds of Yah. Yah will discipline me severely. And that's what our people run from, severe discipline. Don't run from severe discipline. Job didn't run from it, even though he kept talking to his friends. Don't run from severe discipline. But he won't hand me over to die. Oh, so you might restore your soul. Open for me the righteous gates so that I may enter through them to give thanks unto Yah. How are you going to walk through the righteous gates if you haven't been walking the path of righteousness? You have to walk the righteous path in order to walk through the gates of righteousness. So people in church talk about the gates of heaven. No, we're talking about the gates of righteousness. And may our path be walking the path of righteousness so that we can walk through the gates of righteousness. This is Yah's gate. The righteous will enter through them. We ain't talking about heavenly gates. We're talking about the gates of righteousness. You have to be walking the righteous path in order to get in the righteous gates. I will praise you because you have answered me. When you call on Yah, he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to answer you and have become my deliverer. So I called on Yah when I was 14. He answered me, and he has continued to deliver me. The stone that the builders rejected, who they reject? They reject us as a people. They hate us as a people. They want us to be a part of their society, even though we are a blessing to them. They follow everything we do, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we dance, the way we dress. But we the stone that the builders rejected. They're trying to get back to this one world order. It says the stone that the builders rejected, Yisrael, has become the cornerstone. Cornerstone is the most important stone in the building. This is from Yah. It is awesome in our sight because only Yah could do it. Can't man do it? Don't look for me to do it. Don't look for Yahshua to do it. Yah going to do it. This is the day that Yah has made. How many days has Yah made? Every day that's been in existence, Yah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day that you live, you should rejoice in the days that you live. Please, Yah, deliver us, because we need it. Please, Yah, hurry. Don't wait, because it's been so long. Bring success now. We need our own success. We brought blessings to the nations. They become superpowers. Now bless us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yah, not in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Allah, but in the name of Yah. Let us bless you from Yah's house. We know Yah's house is in Jerusalem. We got to go back and rebuild it. Not rebuild it because it's coming from the heavens. But we got to go to Yah's house and bless Yah out of Yah's house. Yah is Elohim. He will be our light. That's what we have to look forward to. Not no man, not no Messiah, not no Savior, but the Creator who created everything. bind the festival sacrifices with ropes to the horn of the altar, meaning that we tied to what you commanded us to do. You are my Elohim, and I will praise you. Every day will I praise you. And that's what all living beings are supposed to be doing. Because we don't know how we got here. It was Yahweh who created us. My Elohim, and I will exalt you. We should be exalting our Creator every single day. Give thanks to Yah. Don't wait for November 24th, the day the Gentiles call Thanksgiving. Give thanks to Yah every day, for He's good. And His gracious love is what? Not momentarily, not for a moment, not for a day, not for a year, but Yah's gracious love is eternal to all His creation. And all His creation can tune in when you give praise to Him. So we give praise to Yah every day.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Katya, thank you very much. Yeah, and now we have some moments for commentary, but I want to set the format going forward. Katya, and Psalms 119.
Mm-hmm.
These seem to be writers, these songs of each portion of this song. And so let me make a suggestion, Cartrell. They do two of these writers of each segment of this song because it's going to be a hoozy. I mean, so what do you think, Cartrell, in 119?
Well, Psalms 119 is a very special song. I don't know who put it together.
Right.
But it's a song that the nation uses for when we're in our infirmities.
Right.
And it's broken down into Hebrew letters.
Right.
The Hebrew
letters,
the Hebrew language created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Because Yah spoke that language.
Okay.
And created all things. So
thank
when
you,
our Israel. People are affirmed and we spell out their name, according to the Psalms 119, it is a remedy and an appeal to Yah to heal our people whose names we pray under. But it's so long. I mean, when we read it, we get so much wisdom out of it. So I will read maybe 21 verses at a time.
Thank you, Gadriel. Praise Yah. Well, fellow students, we have a few minutes. Sister Hudi or Katya to make commentaries on the last song, 118, and I'm all ears. May the Most High bless us.
You know what I like? And when he said, and I'll say this, His kindness is everlasting. I call on Yah in distress. Yah answered me in a broad place. Yah is on my side. I do not fear what man does to me, for Yah is for me among those helping me. But Yah is the one among helping me. But also in there it says, it is better to take refuge in the Most High than to trust in men.
Hallelujah. And then we said that, Sister Yehudi, and then Katya allude to the fact, for Job is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right on point. The Most High word is right on point. And Cartrell is synchronized with what the Most High says. And so that's beautiful. Thank you, Sister Hootie. Cartrell.
My daughter's in labor.
Wow.
Oh,
so what you got, grandson or granddaughter?
Daughter.
Granddaughter.
Praise
okay.
Praise
Yah.
We need more.
Just running out the house.
Yeah, we need more Hebrew sisters because the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Especially if that hand is right. Okay, so we need more Hebrew daughters. That's a good thing. And bless you and bless your family, Katya.
I appreciate it.
Anytime, brother. Well,
That's wonderful. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Well, you know, I got daughters. I was born by a daughter, and so I have an affinity for women because I have daughters. My mother was a daughter, and so I have this close affinity to women. And I love our women, even our knuckleheads that don't know anything about Yah. I look at them sometimes, shake my head, and totally derision about the way they're treating themselves. I'm hurt. I'm hurt when our sisters hurt themselves.
Uh-huh.
Because ain't nothing they can do to me. They hurt themselves, and I'm hurt by them hurting themselves. And I'm disappointed in them. But they're still my sisters. And it's a good thing when Katria and Sister Yehudi, I know you got a daughter. And I know Katria, with him being a grandfather, that he's going to be a good grandfather. So the baby's going to have a good support system. And that's a good thing.
I think it's a beautiful thing. I don't have any granddaughters. I wanted a granddaughter. I had a daughter now. But I wanted a granddaughter. But I'm thankful that the Most High blessed me with two grandsons who helped me one time. See, that's why I know Yah is, the Creator is real. Because I'm different, not strange, I guess you can tell, but it's okay to say accolades, hallelujah, and this and that, but my heart has to be, I'm so used to talking the Most High to myself. I talk just like I'm talking to you right now.
Right.
And I ask the Most High, and I cry, and whatever, you know, but I'm sincere, and I make mistakes, and I pay for it, just like the lady said, okay. We're going to call you at the end of October. Didn't call. It's November.
Right.
So what I'm going to do, quite just a relative, and we're going to see what's going on. Now, that's...
No, Sister Hootie. The first thing you're going to do is pray to Yah. Then you're going to...
I did that already.
Oh, my bad. I apologize.
Yeah, I was going to say, see, I wait on the Most High, but he also, when you know yourself, Yah Suh.
Right.
That
yes, ma'am.
Just prayer and do nothing, you take action, right?
You better believe it.
And you help people. You're in movement. And I didn't trust the lady, but I'm going by what she said, okay? So it didn't happen.
Right.
And I'm saying, what's going on? But the Most High gave me a mind to think, so I called. And they're not receiving phone calls. So I called my cousin. She said, well, I'll take you there to see what's going on. But I'm still asking the Most High because I said, and this is not a shame thing because there's people out there that I don't have any heat. And there's people out there probably don't have heat.
Oh,
they can identify. There's people that's listening to us that probably hold this.
Well,
so
May I ask, Sushu, why you ain't got no heat?
The landlord hasn't taken care of it.
Oh.
And I let her know that I'm moving, and I'm kind of in between a rock and a hard place. I can make it really not, I don't want to say bad, because I'm not that kind of person. I may be a fuss bucket, but I'm really a kind person, and I know that. Because I even called the mayor's office here on record to make sure she got that plumbing done. And I told her I got a list. And she doesn't want to see, but I might have to call her lawyer.
Right.
And I'm not a selfish person. But sometimes when I talk to the Most High, I get tired of doing stuff. And it's like I keep getting kicked in the behind or the face. So... I'm gonna meditate on this to see.
Yeah.
It could be next month. It could be January. It could be December. You know. I could get a call in 2 days and say, "Okay, Miss Meyer, we're ready for you to go." And I'm like, "Oh, what?" See, so I gotta make up my mind how I'm gonna do this. But I'm still thankful. I'm still. I feel rich. You know, and I mean. Because I got a peace of mind, you know, but I don't talk about the trials and tribulations. That's why my heart goes out. I'll just say this right quick because I know you got to go.
Okay.
My heart
goes
out to people who are having rough times. My heart goes out.
Yeah. When you see Sister Yehudi, there's no way that you can be a Hebrew Israelite disconnected to Yah. Then when you in the presence of them and they have problems, that it don't become your problems. And if you can help solve that problem, if you're a Hebrew brother and sister that can do that, I don't know what to tell you. I can't do it. If I'm in a position, I may say, man, come on now. I may say that, but then that being said, I'm going to put in work to try to help them solve their problem. I'm going to say that. That's just Yamsu. Come on, man. Come on now. You know, but that being said, like Cottrell said, and I love what he said, you got to put some oil on the blade. I mean, and people, they will respond to you better putting oil on the blade. And sometimes we forget to put oil on the blade, Sister Yehudi. Yeah, because we can always say, Sister Yehudi, why you do this? Why you, but you put some oil on the blade for the sister? You ain't put no oil on the blade, man. She didn't want to hear all that. Yeah. All right, Sister Yehudi, thank you. Appreciate the commentary. Cottrell, we didn't leave no time for you, but we'll get you next time. Friday night.
Love the
We get him tomorrow night. He'll get his party in the morning. But we're gonna give him a moment to give us a small commentary. Cottrell, you have a floor.
I appreciate the little bit of time y'all give me. Because I got so much to say.
You're wrong for that, bro. Now you know you're wrong for that.
Facts, though, you cannot put your problems out in public. You have to take them directly to the Most High, which is a lesson we learned from Job. You can't put your problems in your friend's hands. You have to take them to the Most High directly and leave them there, you know, and let the Most High handle it from there. Put your faith and your trust in Him. But this 118 Psalm, don't overlook it. It's so much power in it. It's so much wisdom in it. It's so much understanding in it. I just wish he had a whole day to go over it because there's so much power in it. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
118 Psalm. So
118. Don't give your thanksgiving on just one day on these prescribed holidays of your enemies. Give thanks to the Most High God every day, each day, and double down on it.
And I just want to say one thing. Because in Christianity, they're looking to go through the pearly gates in heaven. No, the gates we're talking about is the gates of righteousness. The 19th verse says, open for me the gates of righteousness so I may enter through them and give thanks to Yah. This is Yah's gate. The righteous will enter through it.
Do the right thing. Do the right thing.
You can't put your sins on no other man. You have to walk the righteous path.
Hallelujah. Do the right thing. Do the right thing by everybody and anybody when you can. Sometimes with some of your enemies, the best thing you do with them is run away from them. But that being said, do right by people, not wrong by people. Cottrell, Sister Hootie,
God
bless you. Thank you very much for your commentaries. Thank you very much for your love. Thank you very much for your devotion to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, that you are here with us on these studies and you're due diligent and more obligated to feel to do so. And fellow students, amen. And thank you, fellow students, the 4,000, I don't know how many we got, there's 4,000 and growing, that you feel due diligence to study right along with us. What does that suggest to you? That the God of Abraham is powerful. The God of Abraham is loving and merciful. The God of Abraham wants you to He wants you to share in these studies that we share. These are the nuggets of gold we share with you. My brother Cottrell, my sister Yehudi, and you. We're in this together. We're tethered together. Praise the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. According to the Psalm chapter 118, which y'all call the Psalms. That being said, Cottrell and I, Sister Yehudi and I, we don't know everything, but we know this for certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been studying with us the word of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Praise his name, all our souls, and all that is within us. Praise the Almighty God. And I said Almighty, but he is Almighty. Praise the Almighty God.
And bless his name. Bless
his name. Every day. Not November 24th. Every day. Not listen to what your enemy said. Listen to what your brothers and friends said about your creator. Let your brothers and friends help you in your studies, not your enemies, because your enemies are going to lead you astray.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer you parting gifts, a new spirit and a new heart. I can't go into detail on it tonight because time is flying by, but I will tomorrow. A new heart and a new spirit. Pray for it tonight. Ask for a new heart and a spirit unlike your king, King David, because the Most High loved that fellow, and he'll love you too. And if it's good enough for a king, let me ask you a question. Shouldn't it be good enough for you? We love you. Katriel, Sister Hootie, say shalom and good night to our brothers and sisters and fellow students.
Shalom, family. Osai, continue to bless and be with us.
Shalom, people. Love you. And love you, brother.
Shalom.